Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. David.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, welcome back. It's been a few,
It's been a while. I didn't think we was coming back for a minute there. Yeah, Brian became Uncle Daddy, and we don't know what's going on.
it's been a minute. But glad to be back and start a new season here. And like always, make sure you are subscribing and listening at all the platforms. We are not just on YouTube anymore, people. Look us up. We're on iTunes. We're on Google Play. And
y'all ain't ready.
I'm working every day to get us on some other platforms. So as soon as those platforms are up, I will give you the links and put them up on our. You know, go follow us on Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter. The Mac T Show, and you can search that on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're all over the place, so check us out.
Ain't gonna do it.
And as always, you can hit up the show and email is themactshow@gmail.com, and all that is down in the description bar below. So fear not if you did not hear me, if I spoke too fast, which I've been seeing in the comments that I have a tendency to do, and that's fine. So let's go ahead and kick this show off. There was an article written about a couple weeks ago off of thesportster.com, and it dealt with NBA legends, and it was a list of 10 legends that would struggle in today's NBA, and 10 legends that would succeed. And I had to bring this to T's attention because I knew it would get her riled up. So where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the 10 that would struggle or the 10 that would
succeed? Struggle bus.
All right, let's do it.
The struggle bus was stupid. When you called me, I said, Magic. And then you kept talking. I said, my bitch Bird on there too. And sure enough, both of them are on there. And yeah. I just thought it was so disrespectful.
And I loved how they did it. It was almost poetic the way they, because it was one of those articles where you had to click through to see each, see the next one, and there really is no order. They were just kind of listing, but the way they put the order down, it was the struggle list, the 10 legends that would struggle: John Stockton, Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, Charles Barkley, Steve Nash, Jerry West, Moses Malone, Isaiah Thomas, the Iceman, George Gervin, and the last one they had on the struggle list was Magic Johnson. And I said, I got to send this to T.
Okay.
But yeah, okay. Larry Bird, I think he survives in just about any generation because anybody.
He shoots too well not to make it.
He shoots way too well. He's just a killer. I mean,
he got his basketball IQ. Which they probably want to talk about IQ when he was playing. His basketball IQ is going to be high.
Yeah.
Like, he just tough as nails. Now, Lord, I'm talking about a Boston Celtic. But we talking about basketball right now. Forget the Celtic
part. Right.
Like, he was 6'9".
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, you got Kevin Durant and a couple of cats that can shoot, but it ain't a lot of them out there just can let it rip. They ain't go to the basket because it don't matter how slow he is. Like, he probably got that deceptive speed that people would talk about. Yeah. Like, he know the angles. he's going to be able to pass because he can also pass. I can't understand it. I want to meet whoever this dude is, a woman, or whoever they.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Larry was the type that he would go out there, and there's these legendary stories of him, you know, basically telling people what he was about to do to them, and he would go out and do it. I mean, if you have that kind of moxie, you can survive in any.
Right, you walk into a 3-point contest and say, all right, which one of y'all coming in second?
Right. And then Magic, their whole reasoning behind Magic being on the struggle list was that in this day and time, there are many other players tall enough to guard him, which was one of the things back in his day. He was the one, only of his kind, you know, the 6'9 point guard. But
I don't think it was about his size. Yes, that was it. Gave him probably some advantage. But right. Is he going to stop being able to pass now? Is he going to stop being able to get on the block and shoot his little left or right hand hook and run the offense? Like, what's happening now? You can't hand check. So no matter how big you are, like, he can use his size still because he's going to have good handle to get to the basket. In this day and age, you can't touch nobody.
Yeah, that's why I just don't feel like any legend would struggle. I mean, it's almost like with the whole rules the way they are now, it would make the legends even that much more, you know, of a thing.
A threat. I mean, can you? Because you remember he used to do that back down dribble from anywhere. But part of that is because guys could touch. Now he can go straight line dribble. Who gonna run the pick and roll? Like, you got 6'9" and run it with whoever.
Yeah, like, I mean, Michael's on record.
I think it's a lot of LeBrons out here. Who are they talking about that this big at the point guard spot that's going to be guarding him?
I don't know. I don't know who they would consider big enough, you know.
Westbrook going to the block. Hey, I don't care how athletic he is. We're going straight to the block. And we got, who else? Like Chris Paul, too little.
Damian Lillard, too little.
Every point guard you name too little, so now you're going to put them on whoever the 2 guard, they still going to struggle. So it's still, like, what? I'm confused. Yeah. And then how you got Steve Nash on them?
Yeah,
he can shoot.
Him pass. And Isaiah Thomas, both of them, with the no-hand check rule, they would kill.
Yeah, he just all over the place. He would be just a smaller version of Westbrook.
And Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley would dominate because of his size. You know, he was smaller, and he still.
I don't really understand how athletic he was. Right. At 6'4" or 6'5" or whatever he is.
And the rules were a lot different back then, and he was still dominating. So now, being the rules that, you know, where they are now, he would just have a field day. And he said as much on TNT. You know, he says a lot, but he said as much about
the only person on here that I think might be accurate is I've never really seen a lot with Jerry West. But I know he was on those Laker teams that win and kept losing to Boston. But I don't know that I feel like he might struggle. Just from the little bit I know about him from the 60s and 70s when we was losing to Boston all the time. Way to go, Jerry. I'm sorry.
The logo.
Right. The logo. Right. That's what they gave him. You know why he got that? They felt bad because he kept losing to Boston.
Yeah, because they had them stacked teams and they kept going into Boston.
So they were like, well, we like Jerry, we're going to give him something. This is going to be the logo.
Yeah.
The Iceman, he athletic. He would be like, what's the dude that put Iguodala or somebody? He's still going to get to the rim. I don't care what you're talking about, that finger roll is still going to be effective. Mm-hmm. Again, can't nobody hand check. You ain't got to worry about getting knocked to the ground in these flagrant ones and twos. So you're going to take the rim probably even more.
And John Stockton, you can still run the pick and roll. I mean,
all day. And he can shoot off the pick and roll. It ain't like he just was passing the Malone every time.
And even though centers are a lot different today, Moses Malone, that's almost the reason. If you're going to put Shaq on the list of those who would succeed, you ought to put Moses Malone.
Because all he's going to do is defend and rebound, which is what he did.
Yep.
Why is that changing?
It's not. But yeah, it was an interesting list. The succeed list was.
They didn't have nothing else to do.
I don't know. The succeed list was as followed. It had Shaq, Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, Jason Kidd, Scottie Pippen, the Big O, Oscar Robertson, Hakeem, the Dream, Elijah Vaughn, Reggie Miller, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and David Robinson. And I'm just thinking to myself.
Can I ask you a question? What was the timeline for this? When was the cutoff?
I don't know, but I'm looking at the succeed and the struggle and going back and forth. And I mean, they got a lot of the same type of players on both right. lists. It was confusing to me. I think that they were just trying to spark a debate, and they did for a while because I saw a lot of people commenting and I had actually heard about the list on one of the ESPN shows. I can't remember which now. But I heard them talking about it, and it made me go look it up, and I was just like, wow.
This is the same foolishness talking about the Bulls couldn't beat the Warriors. In what life?
Yeah.
It don't matter whose rules you play by. If you play by you can't touch nobody rules, Michael Jordan and Pippen them going to just be doing whatever.
Oh, Michael said he could average 20 right now in his 50s in still today's game.
And go sit down somewhere. Well, I ain't gonna tell and find a general manager and stop being a team manager owner and all that. Cause
he just needs to be the owner and sit back and let other people. That's why you hire people. That's what they always say. You hire people that are smarter than you to do the job, and you just sit back
and chill.
Yes, he's too hands on. He's too emotional. He's too emotional, and he's too hands on. And they have made mistake after mistake in the draft. I mean, Monk, good player in college, hasn't really translated in the NBA just yet from Kentucky.
Can I just say one word?
Mm-hmm.
Kwame Brown. Okay, that's two.
Yeah. That's going to always be on Mike's record. And I think he knows that. And he's trying to.
I don't even need to say no more. And we all have bad days. So that was the worst day ever. When I saw that kid couldn't do a drop step, and I was like, how you drafted him number one and y'all out here teaching him how to do a drop step?
The young man should have gone to Florida and learned the game and evolved in a good system, because at the time, Florida was in the national championship picture every year. He would have learned some. He would have been
was doing his thing.
Yeah, and he just was not ready. He was overwhelmed. He was young. He was, you know, just everything about young kids, everything about the one and done rule, or just the straight out of high school rule that they hate. He was Kwame Brown.
He embodied it.
Yes, that's the word. Yes.
So what do you know about Oscar Robertson? Because I'm like, how he get up there? Like, I know he averaged a triple-double, but I seen highlights. It ain't like he was the most athletic guy in the world.
He was almost Jerry West-esque.
The way right, they played. Like, how is he on them?
I guess it was just the time that he played in and the teams that he was on. I mean.
But we talking about moving him into the 20th century. Mm-hmm. Hey,
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was a bigger guard. Who was real stiff. I mean, he wasn't real athletic, like you said. So.
But he's a regular size guard now. If we put him in today.
True.
With no athleticism.
Yeah.
Well, not as much as these guys.
I had to go back to the list to see what exactly their reason
was. Yeah, they
was.
Had a little block of words that I was like, that's nonsense.
but. I think this was actually Shaq's podcast that I found this on.
Yeah,
it was Shaq's. Because he, you know.
Because I said, Shaq got a podcast? Uh-huh.
It was, I love his show. I listen every week.
I don't like this list. I can see that, you know, you will say Magic not as athletic. He still can pass the ball. He still got a high IQ. Like, with his personality, he would have all kinds of marketing stuff. And if you put a bunch of athletes around him, I mean, we talking about a bigger, better Lonzo Ball, and he doing fine in this league. He way, He way more left athletic than Lonzo Ball.
Listen,
and that's what we talking about, really.
Listen,
a taller Lonzo Ball. Is that not right?
Listen to the Lakers.
Is that not who Magic is?
Wait. Listen to the Lakers fan saying that Lonzo Ball is doing well. He is. Everybody in the world is talking about his game.
No, I'm saying he's playing fine in this game. The point is not about how, and he averaged 10-7-7. But we just talking about being able to play in this. Like, he's being able to play.
Yeah, I don't know.
They talk about, I didn't know he was supposed to be this good on defense, but they talk about how his defensive numbers, if you look at analytics, are very high. We know he can rebound. Like, how is Magic not going to be able to play if this kid can? Magic going to shoot better than 45% from the free throw line.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I hear you. Yeah, the list definitely up for debate. Please let us know if y'all have any comments on what you think about the list, and go look it up. It's at sportster.com.
No, I ain't finished. Now, who is Larry Bird? He better than Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, if we're going to try to find somebody to match, we can just drop Korver out the lead and put Larry Bird in that spot. Can't shoot. He's going to be able to defend a little better, too. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to stop with this. Because I don't appreciate it.
So this is our next little topic. It's a little dated, about a month old now. But because we haven't been around, I haven't got a chance to talk about it with T, so I wanted to get her feelings on it. The Nike 30th anniversary campaign,
mm-hmm.
where they featured Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on it and the aftermath and the fallout from it? I want to hear your, and then, you know, I'll give you mine as well.
I was like, where were y'all when, like, earlier in the game, when he was taking all that heat? Where was Nike?
And I was.
That's all I want to know. Where were y'all earlier? Now that he out the league and pretty much ain't playing, okay, y'all giving him little trinkets in his pocket or whatever, he getting paid for this, but where were y'all then? Why didn't y'all have some kind of support for him, some little video or something then?
And there's actually articles out there here in the last week or so that say that there was a point right before the campaign came out that they were thinking, Nike that is, pronouns, mm-hmm. They were thinking that they were getting ready to cut ties with him.
But they saw a money opportunity and they like, it's probably more people out here that understand what he is doing than don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just gonna go with it. I don't know that they care either way. It's all about money when you talk about these kind of corporations. I don't think they care, you know, necessarily about the black cause or any other cause for that matter. It's the opportunity.
It's that bottom line.
Talked about free publicity. You got reverends in churches talking about it. So that's like places that you would never be talking about Nikes in some church. Because it just don't fit, like, but then you just wind up in all these different conversations. Some people would say there's no bad publicity. And all the people that was burning shoes, go sit down somewhere. Them shoes look like they needed to be burned. Every shoe, did you see a new shoe burn?
I didn't see new shoe burn. Every shoe every that shoe was being burned, the soles was coming off. There was not a new shoe burned in the whole bunch.
Yeah, well, stop with the fake outrage. And go get a new pair of shoes to burn. Otherwise, I don't want to see how bad you are at Nike. Because you know you're going to get you some money.
And listen, I'm just here to tell you, if you are thinking of burning new Nike shoes, I can give you my address. You hit me up in my DMs.
But just take them to a homeless shelter or something.
Yeah. I mean, there's much more.
Did Nike actually send out how to burn your shoes? Or was that somebody else?
I think that was just the internet.
But it's kind of funny, yes, though.
It was hilarious. You pretty much said everything that I was going to say as far as, you know, this just about being about the bottom line, and it worked in Nike's favor because their stock is at an all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
I just checked it. It's like 70 cents down as of last week, but I mean, it skyrocketed within the month that all this went down. Yeah. So it worked. It worked in their favor, and you know, just it furthered along the conversation. Some people want to have it or not, I mean, conversation's still out there.
It started the conversation again, now it's died down again, and, you know, it is what it is.
And his comrade in all this craziness, Eric Reed, was signed by the Carolina Panthers a week ago, and he played his first game with them this week. And he actually knelt before the game in the national anthem. And was a big deal made about it? No. But just like I knew, just like everything, it blows over. And there was no big deal.
If that one reporter or two, whoever saw Kaepernick kneeling, does not make a big deal out of it. Nobody would have ever known. Because they say he had been sitting down the whole time, and nobody said it. That would probably be more disrespectful than the kneel to me.
And that's what I have conversations with people recently, people close to me, who disagree with his protest and, you know, everything. And, you know, it was all the cliche disagreements, why they were disagreeing. And I explained to them, you know, that it's not disrespectful. What actually him kneeling was the product of him talking to veterans who, you know, during the process of his protest where he was sitting down, like you said, you know, after speaking to veterans, he said a more respect, that he came with a more respectful way of protesting, you know, after speaking with them and getting their opinions on it, would be to kneel instead of just, just arbitrarily sitting by the water cooler. Because, you know, that does look a little off. But once he started doing the kneeling, it was a more respectful way between him and the veterans he was speaking to. I mean, and when I say these things, the people that I'm talking to, that I'm trying to explain this to, they never heard that. They never saw that. They didn't know that.
Right.
Because they're just out of anger.
The news made this worse than it really was.
Exactly.
Because they never told about how he was sitting down, and I don't know who he talked to, like you just said. Number two, if I kneel to God to pray, nobody would be like, oh, God finds that so disrespectful. I can't believe you are taking a knee to pray. Are you serious? That is the most outrageous thing I ever heard. If you were a knight back in the days, how did you get knighted?
You kneel down,
they touch you. Huh?
You know. Mm-hmm.
When kings and queens used to come in the room, what do you do back in the day? You would kneel. Think of the movie, with Lord of the Rings. At the end, when they all knelt down to Frodo, that is like being respectful, showing honor. Now we don't make it something else. I'm used to it. But that's what ignorance gets you.
Oh, yeah.
So, we miseducate people, and then we twist it to make it however we want it to be. I can't. So, you know, Nike, go sit down somewhere. Y'all just making money. Y'all really don't care that much.
The NFL came out with a statement. I guess this is about mid-September in response to the campaign. Because the NFL's in bed with Nike. I mean, like, you know, the money.
Right.
You know, that's the whole reason this campaign is such a big deal, because they knew that it was going to be on TV. You know, and it was going to be on TV a lot, because Nike's getting a bunch of money from the NFL, or giving a bunch of money, whichever, however that works. But in their statement, they said social justice issues that Colin and other professional athletes have raised deserve our attention and action. We embrace the role and responsibility of everyone involved with the game to promote meaningful, positive change in our communities. So basically, you know, we have no issues with it. We're going to continue to move on and play our football games and get our money.
It's just a no win. Like, I mean, let them do their thing, play football, and keep it moving. Don't worry about all this other riffraff.
So,
I got a question.
Okay.
Because we ain't talked about this. What's your position on the whole Kavanaugh thing? Not the sexual assault piece, just him being the new Supreme Court justice. What you think about the whole, how it all went down, and from what you saw, if you watched any of it, because some people haven't been paying any attention to it.
I saw highlights of the doctor, her testimony. I didn't actually get to see her. I came in right as Kavanaugh's was starting. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know. I wasn't there. Don't know who did what, if anything did, who, you know, whether or not he was the one who did this to her, or what have you. I think that whole process was ridiculous. I think, and I'm going to come down on the Democrats right now on how they handled the thing. I thought it was a mockery. But I will say, if she was on the other foot, and if it was a Democrat-appointed Supreme Court justice, the Republicans would be every bit as petty. And these grown men and women are just childish, and this has become, it's just, this man, if he didn't do any of this, his reputation is ruined for the rest of his life.
Okay, I'm not agreeing with that. This man just became the Supreme Court Justice, which is the highest court in our land. And pretty soon people be like, what happened? You might remember it right now, but in the next couple of years, nobody even be like, oh, Kavanaugh. Oh, yeah, I remember. That's that guy.
Yeah.
But his name probably never even be mentioned much again unless something comes up like Roe versus Wade.
And don't get me wrong when I say I'm not just I'm going to add to that the lady, the doctor, her reputation for coming out will be ruined as well. I mean, and that's part of the struggle when it comes to, you know, women speaking up. You know, her reputation will be awful. And now, because like you said, now that he is a Supreme Court justice and, you know, he can be able to move on from this in that way, she won't. She, you know, there will always be that stigma with her, and anything she tries to do from now on, people are going to know, oh yeah, she's the one that tried to bring down Brett Kavanaugh.
Let me tell you right now, I don't even remember her name. I remember it's something with a Ford.
Yeah, Dr. Ford. Christine Blasey Ford.
This is my thing with it, Brian. When they were saying that she was going to talk, I said, don't do it, like. I said, don't do it. This is going to be the worst time of your life. Do not do it. Because I was like, they already have made up their mind. And we heard some of them even say it don't matter what they hear, they're going to vote yes. Don't do it. But she didn't get to hear from me. And maybe, you know, she just wanted to have her say in court. I don't know. Or I guess that really wasn't court. But I don't care if he did or not. My problem with him is lying. And the way he acted in that media, I don't even know what it was called. It wasn't a courtroom.
Yeah, just...
Did you...
It was ridiculous.
You challenging the people that asking you question on this. This is pretty much a job interview. Mm-hmm. And you acting like, how dare you ask me, did I drink till I blacked out?
Well, I don't remember who I was talking to when all that was going on. But I remember telling them he was in there acting like a lawyer when the public opinion and the public that was watching is not going to understand why he's lawyering his way out of saying whether or not he would be open to an FBI investigation. But the way he was doing it, he came off so awful. And, you know, as far as being in the public eye,
the common man,
just say yes or no. Just because they're going to keep asking you, just say yes or no. That's what I'm sure, you know, Joe Public was screaming at the TV watching that. Because he did look like a fool. And, you know.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, he just kept lawyering his way around answering questions.
When you're talking about rapping, oh, that's when I was, I got a soft stomach.
Hey, he likes beer.
We cannot make you a Supreme Court judge if you don't know that you don't have to pass out to blackout at this point in your life. And you're about to have all kinds of, you know.
When I heard all that come out, I said, you know, as soon as T hears this, she's gonna bring, because I've heard you in different things that you've dealt with when it comes to alcohol prevention and things like that in your job. I've heard you talk about that. I've heard you talk about these issues.
Are you going to just act like you don't know this? And then again, just the way he was so defiant. And then when he brought up the Clintons. So the Clintons went back 30 years in the time machine and said, look, we finna set this up with this lady so that 30 years down the road, when somebody decided to bring you forward, we're going to have her to come out. And that was my problem. I was like, I don't know what he believed on Roe versus Wade. I don't know what he believed on presidents not being indicted when they in office. I do know he is sitting up there lying. And if you a judge, I cannot have you lying like this. And then all the time, early before this court came, I watched some of the pieces where they were questioning him during the regular process. And every time they would ask him something about, oh, do you respect the president or something, I have to be bipartisan. I have to be bipartisan. But in this, you just came out and started talking about how the Democrats would set this all up. So, I mean, you can't have both ways. Like, either you're going to stick to it or not. So you so wishy-washy. I just would not have liked for him to be on the court on that those pieces alone. Whether he did the sexual assault or not, we'll never know. But you out here lying on simple stuff. You know, if you lie on little stuff, Brian, that leads me to suspect that if it's really big, you definitely going to, it's easy for you to lie. Because yeah. All you got to say is, I was young, I made some poor choices, I drank a lot, I enjoyed beer, because apparently he enjoyed beer.
Yes, he did. Yes.
And nobody's going to be like, there's something wrong with that. I did not assault her. Whatever. But to just act like you didn't drink a lot, all your classmates been saying it, bro. They all saying you have. Like, so just stop with the lies. So anyway, that was that with that. I told the lady not to come out, but she probably didn't hear me when I was saying it that day in my office.
And when they started talking about,
don't you do it, lady. Don't you do it.
When they started bringing up his friends and calling them by their nicknames. This here has become a ridiculous, just...
Yeah, the whole process was not great. And we just further embarrassed in America. It's an embarrassing time right now in my eyes, because this is ridiculous, all this stuff we've been doing. And like you said, the government, like, both sides act like they just so outrageous. Both of y'all be doing outrageous stuff. And y'all don't care really about the people that y'all supposed to be serving.
No, it's all about, you know, the power they believe that they wield.
You can start with power. Yeah. And that's all it's about. The power.
Speaking of power.
The show.
Yes.
What happened on the end? Because I don't think I know yet.
So... It has been confirmed, people, for everyone who watched the season finale about a month. It's been about 2 or 3 weeks now. Angela is not dead. The show co-creator.
Go back. I didn't know Angela was supposed to be dead.
So, yeah.
I knew Bishop's character had gotten shot with the whole setup with the gun.
Right, so.
Because, you know, I don't watch it. People have to tell me what happened.
So, yeah, the last episode ended with Angela confronting Ghost, and, you know, because her people are barreling down on her. Basically, they've given her 24 hours to come up with a story or come up with whatever she wants to say, and because we got all this evidence on you. We know that you've been in cahoots with St. Patrick and all, you know, blah, blah, blah. They think that she's part of his drug and everything, so they're really about to try and come down on her. Well, she's trying to save all of them, so she goes and she tells Jamie what's going down. Well, in the midst of all this, Tommy has done, you know, he's all in his feelings, and he's ready to just go after Ghost. So he is above them in this, I don't know if they're in a school or a locker room or wherever they are. I can't remember as much. But he's above them, and all of a sudden when Ghost looks up, he sees Tommy pointing the gun down in their direction. No, Angela looks up, and she sees him. And she pushes Ghost out of the way, and she gets shot. So the episode ends with her on the ground, and Ghost holding her, and he looks up, he sees Tommy, he screams. And so you know this next season, him and Tommy gonna be going at it. Over.
Okay. I need them not. They already don't have their beefs. Can we not come up with something new?
It seems like they're always at each other, but I think this time it's gotten a lot more serious because, you know, Tommy, who found out his father was alive and he come, you know, into contact with his father. His father gets out because he's about to snitch on, originally he was going to snitch on Tommy, but he tried to turn around and make it all on Ghost and bring Ghost down. Tommy.
His dad was the snitch, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, Tommy finds out that his dad was a snitch. And, you know, but Tommy only hears it because Ghost put it in his other guy's ear. Because Ghost knew he couldn't tell Tommy. If he did, Tommy wasn't going to believe him. So he puts it in this other guy, who was part of the battalion, little cartel, in his ear to tell Tommy. He tells Tommy. Tommy only believes that his dad's out there trying to snitch on him. His dad really could get, at that point, his dad knew that it was over with. He knew that he couldn't get Tommy to understand he was going to try and flip this on Ghost. Tommy was going to be in the clear. So Tommy winds up killing him. And that's what got Tommy kind of over the edge at this point. Now he's done, just got in a good relationship with his father. Had to kill him because he was a snitch. Now he's mad at Ghost. But I'm loving. It's the way I bring it to you is not all that. There's a lot of other details in it.
Right,
we didn't even see Tariq in the last episode, and he's had a big storyline this whole season.
We still wonder where that little baby is they had.
She grown. She went from being
the soap opera growth.
She went from baby to about eight about 3 episodes. She grown.
Growth spurts and get you every time.
Yes. So yeah, there's that. And so next season gonna be interesting to see where Tariq goes because he's the one that framed 50 Cent's character, Kanan. And you know, basically he was there when Kanan got shot up and in a shootout with the police and then so he took that hard because Kanan was more
Kanan.
Yeah, he really liked Kanan, so that's gonna be interesting to see where he goes.
Even though Kanan was using him, but that's another story for another time.
So Ghost and Tommy will be at each other's throat. Angela's out there, you know, trying to save her butt. Tasha trying to save Tariq from going to jail. It's all wild, and Empire is getting better as well. Speaking of things,
I didn't know they were better. I need to try to watch one of them.
Yeah,
if you get a chance, I don't know if y'all get, you know, regular people out here like me watch antenna TV and don't have cable, but PBS is dark money. Because I don't think we know what's going on in our government. Like, some people don't care to know. But some of the stuff that's happening with this lobbying and all is so bad, Brian. I watched some of this. I was like, this is just so bad.
You know, I knew that you did the whole TV thing, the TV antenna thing. I had gotten one because my brother was without his AT&T U-verse for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And I got one for them to kind of just be able to at least watch local channels. This thing picked up the local ABC, CBS,
NBC,
three Fox. Different kinds of local PBS channels.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
don't play with that antenna now. I don't think I'm out here playing. I don't think I don't have no channels.
It came with a couple of radio stations. I mean, it picked up a bunch of stuff, and I said, this is really. I may, listen to me, the government's going to get me for this, but I may cancel all my, you know, my services and just go with that plus some Apple TV and watch
right.
it.
You can, if you want ESPN, you can get the Apple whatever.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, you get the three major networks. I mean, I know that I get Fox.
Fox. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can get CW. I get Bounce, which is kind of like they show black movies.
Right,
and stuff.
Bounce is on there. Yep, Bounce is CW.
you get like whatever the local, because I get like some local sports thing that's up here that I never had seen before when I was in like Tennessee or Mississippi. Mm-hmm. I get quite a few. Get TV, My TV will show like movies, Chuck Norris and all. It's, I get quite a few channels.
And for those listening who think, okay, well, they're going to go out here and there, I'm telling you now, I found this out because I was trying to set it up for my brother. There's an app that you can get that literally shows you where the nearest towers are. So you know what direction to focus the antenna.
Even if you don't want the app, you can go to FCC on the internet.
Yeah.
And they'll show you where your nearest ones and what direction to point your antenna in, depending on what style you have. And it'll show you which ones should come in strongest in your area and which ones are going to be a little medium or weak signal.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
If you want to save a couple $100, probably a couple thousand a year, because some people pay $100 and something for it.
And I'm telling people,
channels you ain't watch.
People, this is an antenna. It's called a Clear TV antenna. It's the one I purchased. It was $15 at Walgreens. $15. You get clear 1080 HP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, and it's clear picture. It really is nice. And yeah, it's definitely
as long as you don't have like. The only time I get static is when a couple of cars drive by, and that's just because of where I am, because I'm not really close to that many state towers. So, but yeah, don't play with it. Free TV is the real thing. Y'all better get on it.
And the way that they're doing digital now, where you can get subscriptions to, you know, like HBO and Showtime, and you know, like if you have an Apple TV and you got an internet service, you can watch all these, you know, you can watch HBOs and the Showtimes and the ESPNs, like you said. You can get all that. And HBO and Showtime, so you might not be able to get the stuff till the day after, but who can't wait a day to get a show? And, you know? That's why Starz got this thing figured out. Because Power comes out 11 p.m. my time, so it'd be 12 p.m. Eastern, on the Starz app. You can watch the latest episode Sunday, midnight, Eastern Time. Before it even, you know, it comes out that night on the regular Starz. Yeah. Starz ahead of the game on this.
Get your antenna TV. Change your life. Save some money.
Yeah.
Especially if you know you ain't watching it. Matter of fact, I get the channels where they be selling stuff. HSN, it's another one. GSN or G something. I've been caught on there a couple of times watching stuff, thinking that I needed the carpet cleaning vacuum. I was like, I don't need this. This is how people start spending money they don't need watching this thing right here.
So you needed the new blender. The Ninja Chopper of 5,000.
This is really good. No, you don't need that.
Oh, goodness. Well, I think that's going to pretty much put a wrap on this first episode. I'm so glad to be back. And, this is going to be fun. And like I said at the beginning, check us out, iTunes, Google Play. And the episodes, as soon as I upload them, they go right to them. You can be there to hear it. And I always put it on YouTube like we have in the past. And any updates on the show, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at The Mac T Show. That's all you got to search for. You come up with that. And maybe I'll talk T into next episode going just the pre-show, just me and her first get on Skype and everything. We go maybe a little Instagram live for everybody, just for just 1 or 2 minutes.
Watch out.
So, yeah, look for that. Go check us out. Go like, subscribe. And as always, thank you for listening to the show. And I'm with I'm one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay. And I am with...
T, it's still great to be me, Davis. Praise the Lord, everybody.
This has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows. Sports and world news. Coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah.
can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.